Take your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1. Christmas, 1 week away. Are you ready?
No.
No, yes, maybe kinda. You know, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways, something like that. Bryson has this deal with me when I'm asking him, you know, how you doing? Or, you know, if he gets sick and he's not feeling well, he's laying on the couch, and I come home from work or whatever. He says, how you doing? He's got like his little gauge thing he gives me, you know. So, how was your school day? You know, so I'm like, just kind of this, you know. So maybe that's how you feel about Christmas right now. Maybe you don't feel like it's totally thumbs up. Maybe some of you have a thumbs down. You haven't done any shopping yet, or have too many parties to go to still. Hopefully, it starts to calm down, you know. We at Mountain View try to get those mostly done and in the on the calendar before we get too much closer to Christmas, but. I'm glad that Christmas is here. It's always a wonderful time to just slow down, just remember, just the sweetness, just the greatness of our God. And, of course, this series is really what that's all about, is just God is with us, God with us. And as we go through these last 2 weeks of 2016, as we sit around the tables, as we look at the trees, as we look at the lights, as we look at the gifts that are underneath the trees, as you go and shop for people that you love, may we all remember that this celebration and the greatness of it is because Jesus loved us first.
Amen.
Because he is so great, because he is so good. See, he's awesome, and he is the one that really brings true peace into your life. And as we go through this series, it's not, can I say, a deep theological series. I get that. My intention, my heart as a pastor, is to just encourage you. It's just to help you through that next week, just to remember the greatness and the sweetness of Christmas. And so we launched a series. We looked at the list for Christmas. We looked at the light of Christmas. And I would like to today, in John chapter 1, as we were there last week, go to the middle portion of the passage. I want to talk to you about the Lamb of Christmas, the Lamb of Christmas. We mustn't miss the true reason that we celebrate Christmas. Jesus is, of course, that reason that we celebrate.
Amen.
Some celebrate Christmas as a holiday, but have no interest in the one for whom the holiday has been named. The birth of Jesus was more than just a fact of history. It was an event that changed the destiny of mankind. Think about that. This Amen. Event, okay, changed the destiny of mankind. And really, the celebration and the hoopla and the excitement within a Christian, it ought to be there. I talk to some Christians who want nothing to do with Christmas. Can I tell you that is a shame? And you say, well, yeah, but I understand that we tend to you know, consumerism and all of this. I get all of that. I mean, that's it. Every Christian should want a lot to do with Christmas. You should enjoy every step of Christmas, every which way you can, and do it all in the context of this, reflecting it all back to God. And having fun with it, wrapping a gift and putting a Christmas card in there and letting that Jesus is the reason for the season. And let that gift be enjoyed and let the gospel be seen. You send a card off to someone, throw a gospel flyer in there and let the gospel be sown. There's so many ways that we ought to just plug in and enjoy this holiday season. Don't have a bah humbug attitude. Okay, don't be upset that it's Christmas. Be excited that it's Christmas. Amen. Be glad that Jesus came and he is the true reason, and that as we celebrate Christ or Christmas, that we want to have him in our heart and our life in part of this holiday. In John chapter number 1, look at verse number 29 if you would. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's our verse for the week in your bulletin, and it's, of course, where we get the context of the message, the Lamb of Christmas. From this one verse right here, where we read last week about the light that came into this world out of John 1 and those first few verses, and how the Word was made flesh in verse 14, and how John bare record and how he was the witness and talking about Jesus Christ coming. And those verses that go from verse 19 through 28, we see that there's more of this record bearing and more of John confessing and telling about Jesus Christ coming, and they ask him some different questions about if he's not Isaiah, if he's not the Christ, then who is he? And he clearly says, I'm just preparing the way for the one. And then in verse number 29, as it's the next day, as it's recorded for us, John sees the one coming. And he says very loudly and clearly, says this, he says, and saith, Behold, look, declare. is? This is the Lamb of God. What's so awesome about that? The next phrase. He it is, which taketh away the sins of the world. He it is which beareth the sins of the world. We want to talk about that for just a few moments this morning. But read on with me, if you would, in verse 30. This is he of whom I have said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest or declared to Israel. Therefore am I coming baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, and the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith one more time, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, the lamb was used as a sacrificial animal. We're going to look at a few verses throughout our message this morning to help us have some understanding about that. But the Israelites looked forward to the coming of the Messiah because he would be the Lamb of God. Listen to Isaiah 53 and verses 6 and 7. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Speaking of Jesus, verse 7 says this, He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And note this part, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he openeth not his mouth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us just for the next little while. As we talk about the Lamb of Christmas, that you would show us, help us, encourage us. Lord, if there be one in this room that has never trusted in the Lamb of God, that today would be the day that they put their faith and trust in Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, the one who taketh away the sins of the world. There is no one else that can bear and remove our sin other than the Lamb of God. So Lord, if there be one here today that is uncertain, not sure, let that, please Lord, give clarity to them. And let us be able to be just a tool and instrument to encourage them as you would lead in this next little while. In Jesus' name we pray, we all say,
Amen.
I want you just for a little while this morning, I want you to take note of four things that we can learn about the Lamb of God. Four things this morning we can learn about the Lamb of God. Just as we set in context here, I want to just, if I can, help us and say that this pulpit, for the sake of illustration, would be the earthly ministry of Jesus. And of course, at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he went to the cross. And upon that cross, he bled and he died for all the sins of the world, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and then rose again 3 days later, and then ascended to heaven. As we look at Jesus' earthly ministry, I want us to understand that as we look at a timeline, and here's Jesus' earthly ministry, and from this point going this way would be Old Testament, and from this point going here would be New Testament era, the time that we live in. Note this, that throughout the whole timeline, everyone was looking to the cross. Everyone was looking to what was being foretold, what was going to happen, that the Lamb of God would come, that the Lamb of God would go to the cross, that the Lamb of God would shed his blood, that the Lamb of God would be the one who pays for all the sins of the world. The Old Testament individuals looked to the coming Messiah, looked to the cross, and what would happen. Here we are in the year 2000, and we look back, or 2100, we look back 2,000 years ago to the scene of what happened at the cross. But we must realize and understand this morning that when Jesus Christ came and had walked upon this earth sinless and going to the cross is what really truly puts it all in perspective. And so the Old Testament saints look to the cross, going that way, we look back to the cross. And as we draw that in this morning, that gives us the understanding that the Lamb of God in the term means a lot. Because the Old Testament saints knew that there was going to be the Lamb of God that would come, that would take away all the sins of the world. And we understand as we read, we look back, we see, just as John testified, behold, there was a Lamb. And there is a Lamb that took away all the sins of the world. So let's unpack that thought this morning. Let's enjoy the Lamb of Christmas for just a little while. Just as John bear record, just as John was excited to see Jesus, I hope you and I this morning are just as excited to think about the Lamb of God, to think about the Lamb of Christmas, to foretell, to proclaim and to witness and to testify of all of the goodness that comes with this thought. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to note that the Lamb was promised. The Lamb was promised. That's important to know. Just as John in the middle of this context that we read in John 1, it's happening. The promise that was told, the promise of He would come, here it is. Here it is. We know the story, of course, how Elizabeth has John, and he's going to be the forerunner. He's going to be the foreteller. He's going to be the one that comes and proclaims, here is the Messiah. Here is the one. Behold, here is the Lamb of God. And we, of course, know that Mary, of course, the virgin, was the one that carried baby Jesus and, of course, brought Jesus into this earth and gave in life that was, we understand and see it today. And 33 years later, here's Jesus now. Here's Jesus, or 30 years later, excuse me, here's Jesus starting His earthly ministry. And here's all that foretelling. Here's all the promise coming to be. The Lamb that was promised is now being pointed at, being talked about, being shown to the Israelites to the Jews and to those that are there, all the way back to what the Israelites were thinking. But I want you to pause and I want you just to think about this promise and how this Lamb that was promised before God even created the heaven and the earth.
Amen.
Think about that. See, when God created, as we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Know this, that God had already made the promise and already had known that He was going to need to send His only Son to die for mankind, who is going to turn their back on God. See, the Lamb that was promised, God knew that He had a solution for sin before the first sin was ever committed. He knew before He created the heaven and the earth that His only Son would come and die upon this earth, and He would be rejected, and He would be, as it says in Isaiah 53, as a lamb brought to the slaughter. He knew that. And when we think about Jesus, and we think about the Lamb that was promised, I want to remind you this morning as you sit here that while you were yet sinner, Christ died for you. Amen. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love. He demonstrated, He showed His love to you. And the rest of the verse says, and while you were yet sinner, Christ died for you. See, the Lamb that was promised was an understanding that God planned a solution for sin before the sin for sin was ever committed. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, where we get the fall of man, where we get the serpent coming and creeping and enticing Eve, and Eve takes of the fruit and gives it to Adam, and the fall of man happens, and we know that the fall of man is responsible to Adam, as it says in Romans, that by one man sin entered into the world, because Adam was responsible for his wife. And as we read that and understand that, we get back into Genesis chapter 3, we see that God took the life of an innocent animal to provide clothing for Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3:21, the Bible says, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. We see early on in those first few chapters of Genesis that God was using an innocent lamb, an innocent animal, to help to cover the sin of man. From that very beginning, the lamb that was promised, we see the illustration as God takes this innocent animal and He provides clothing. But also, as we move through time, and I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 12, if you would with me this morning, go back to the Old Testament. I want you to come to Exodus chapter number 12. As we talk about the Lamb of God, as we talk about the Lamb of Christmas, we see that this lamb was promised. We see that before the world ever began, God knew what He was going to have to do, and that He was willing to send His only Son. And that when we were yet sinners, Christ dying for us, we also see the love of an innocent animal being covering Adam and Eve. But I also want you to note that this innocent animal was used to protect the children of Israel in Egypt. Because as they applied the blood to their doorpost, then of course as they passed over, and they saw the blood over the doorpost, they saw the blood upon there, that they would, of course, then spare that family. We see the blood of an innocent one saving lives. Look, if you would, at Exodus 12. Look at verse number 7. And they shall take the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper doorposts of their houses, wherein they shall eat. Jump down, if you would, to verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, this is beautiful. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Oh, the beauty of just that verse there in the Old Testament. All the way back there for the children of Israel, as they were willing to obey and follow the commands of God. And take an innocent lamb. And take the blood and put it on the sidepost and upon the doorpost. And when the plagues were going to be passed about, when it was time for that judgment to be put upon the land of Egypt in that area, if they had the blood, verse 13 says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Remember this. As Jesus Christ then, fast forward a little bit, went to the cross and he shed his blood. Fast forward a lot more and here we are today. And we look back to the cross and understand what the blood has done for us. When Jesus looks down, when God the Father looks down, he sees the blood of Jesus covering all your sins.
Amen.
He sees you as righteous. Not by anything that you have done. Not by your works, but by his mercy, his grace. Amen. He saved you. He bled and died for you. And as he looks down, he says, I don't see a sinner. I see a saint. I see a child of God. I see one who I bled and died for. And as I pass over you, as I look down upon you, I see a righteous person. Oh, my friend, this morning, the Lamb was promised. And just as the Lamb was promised, and as we see it in John chapter 1, John says, here, behold, I declare, here is that promise. It's Jesus, the one who takes away the sins of the world. But I want you to see, secondly, this morning, not only was the Lamb promised, but secondly, the Lamb was prepared. The Lamb was prepared. Stay right there in Exodus chapter 12. We'll get there in just a second. But I want you to just note with me for a moment that at the fall of man, back in Genesis, that God already knew that he was going to have to make a way and need to make a way to take care of the sin of mankind and the wickedness and the evil that was going to be upon the earth, upon the world. And yes, he did know that he was going to send his only begotten Son. And so as he did, and in his foreknowledge, know all things, not only did he promise a lamb, but he prepared a lamb. And it's important to understand and to note as we come back to Exodus chapter 3, that if you look back at Exodus chapter 12, in verse number 3, and we get a little more of this context of the lamb that was needed, I want you to note verse 3 with me. It says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. So Moses, of course, is getting this command and this instruction about the Passover, about the blood upon the doorposts. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. I want you to see in verse number 5 the neatness and the effectiveness and the understanding of what qualified for a sacrificial lamb. In verse number 5, the Bible says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and he shall take it out from the sheep's or from the goats. So what do we get here as we look at verses 3 and 5 about this prepared lamb? Just as Moses is given by God and to the children of Israel, say, hey, listen, this is the lamb that must be used for the doorpost blood. It's a sign and it's an understanding for you and for me that the only one that could take away the sins of the world was a male who was young and was spotless. And Jesus Christ, of course, qualified in all three of those areas. Young, a male, and spotless. Jesus fulfilled all three of those qualifications, and we read of it later on in the New Testament, 1 Peter 1:19, where the Bible says this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Can I just give you a freebie here as we are in the Christmas time and just going through all of the stories of Christmas and the uniqueness and the neatness of Christmas? Who was the mother of Jesus? Mary. Who was the father of Jesus? Good job. And that's important. See, if you go and you read the Christmas story, and this is when you get into translation, it's important to kind of take the emphasis of who the father is and how it is. See, Joseph is mentioned, and of course we know him to be the earthly father, but the seed did not come from Joseph. And it could not. Because that's a sinner. That's one that would just be another human, true? And so what's important, what is neat to see, is that when we read about the lamb back in Exodus 12 that needed to be young and spotless and a male, and as it's fulfilled in 1 Peter 1:19, where it says that Jesus had all those qualifications where he was a male and young and he was a spotless lamb that without blemish, how is that possible? Because the Holy Spirit put the seed into Mary. That is so awesome and so pretty to understand and to see how God works and to keep that uniqueness and that sweetness and the promise that was there that had to be there. Because again, if it's Joseph's seed, it's just a sinner. And no one, just being a sinner, can go die upon the cross for all the sins of the world. As we think about the lamb that was prepared, it's important to note just the bonus or just the thoughts of, yes, that's the Holy Spirit that put the seed into Mary. And yes, God, the Father, is the Father of Jesus in that instance and understanding. And as we take in those topics this morning and this thought, here's this lamb. The Lamb of Christmas. The Lamb that you and I get to celebrate and talk about. And as it was promised, I want you just to, important to note this morning, it was a prepared lamb. It was a precious lamb. See, it could be why. Because it was God's only Son, who was the King of Kings, who was the Lord of Lords, but yet he was willing to wrap himself in flesh and come to this earth, be born in a stable, be put into a manger where animals eat from. And remind yourself of this morning, that lamb that was prepared was sinless, perfect, loving, caring God. But yet he humbled himself, the Bible tells us in Philippians, and went to course and was willing to serve you and I. Amen. Oh, this lamb was promised, this lamb was prepared. I want you to see thirdly this morning that then the lamb was then provided. The lamb was provided. And there it is back in our context in John chapter 1 very clearly as Jesus' early ministry is beginning. That word, behold. The promise has been talked about. The preparation has been had and been done, and it's all perfect. It's all right. There it is. Soon he will go to the cross. The promise, the preparation. But also, here is what has been provided. I want you just to know, we need not turn there, but the beautiful story of Genesis 22. The story where there's a man by the name of Abraham. And this man has to show his faith, does he not? Because God says to Abraham, he says, take thy son Isaac and go up unto the mountain. And be willing to sacrifice thy son. But of course, in that conversation, and as the story unfolds, we see Abraham trusting God and walking and taking Isaac with him. And he says in Genesis 22, verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham says in verse number 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both go up together. What a picture, again, all the way back in Genesis, about the Lamb of God. That God will provide himself a lamb. And of course, as that story is done, as Isaac is laying upon that altar, as he's getting ready to take the knife and to slay his son, over in the thicket, there's a ram. There's the sacrifice, the burnt offering that will be offered. God will provide a ram. God will provide a lamb, excuse me. God will always come through. May I remind you this morning that God has provided a lamb. See, because you and I left to ourselves have no hope. You and I left to do life on our own. We have no hope. We have no ability to get to heaven, but only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, only through the lamb that was provided.
Amen.
Can we have a home in heaven?
That's right.
And just as Abraham says those powerful words, God will provide a lamb, no doubt. As the promise was there, the preparation was there, here's the provision now. And John is pointing to Jesus. Look at this. Look at this. I declare, behold, here's the Lamb of God. Here's the provision. Here's the one that has been provided to take away the sins of the world. And oh, my friend, God did provide a lamb, a precious lamb, to be the Savior of the world. God's Lamb completed His work when He died on Calvary as a sacrifice for all the sin. I want you to note three things about Jesus' sacrifice as we think about this provision. Number one, it was voluntary. He was willing to volunteer His own life. In John chapter number 10, 17 through 18, the Bible says this, therefore, Jesus speaking, Doth my Father love me? What a beautiful thought. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I, Jesus speaking, lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Voluntary. Oh, this lamb that was provided, it was from a Lamb of God. It was from the Savior of the world who said, I'm willing to lay down my life and I will take it up again. Back to Philippians chapter number 2, where the Bible says he humbles himself. Where he's willing to go and be a servant, where he humbled himself and was willing to die upon the cruel tree for all the sin and all the shame of the world. Not only was it voluntary, but number 2, I want you to know about the sacrifice. It was permanent. It was permanent. See, in the Old Testament, they were always sacrificing, weren't they? They weren't paying for the sins. They were putting off the sins, so to speak, until the Lamb of God, until the Messiah had come and shed his blood upon on the cruel tree. And we see that it's permanent. In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus Christ hath cleansed us from all sin. From all sin. Get that. Get this, those little words that are in Scripture. 1 John 1:7, it's his blood that has cleansed us from all sin. That's great. That means when you snap at your children, you're unkind at work, when you cut somebody off intentionally in this traffic, or when you steal or lie, or when you commit adultery, or when you name it, some big sins, horrible sins, whatever it may be, all sin is covered by the blood. Amen. See, the Lamb was provided. And it was voluntary, but it was also permanent. So that when Jesus looks down, when God the Father looks down, he will pass over because he always sees you as righteous. That's a glorious thought. That's an amazing wow moment just to put into our lives. He loves me unconditionally. He voluntarily put down his life for me. And it's permanent. Does that mean I just go and sin and live how I want? Of course not. But when I do, I have an advocate. I have one who has paid the price. The one who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. Not only 1 John 1:7, but also we know Revelation 1:5, where it says, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Wicked, vile Matt Smith. Fill your name in. Wicked, vile you. Sin, shame, the Lamb that was provided, precious sinless blood. What does Revelation 1:5 tell us? He washed my sins. He washed my shame. He washed this vile person in his own blood.
Amen.
Can I put it this way? What a washing machine.
Amen.
What a beautiful. You know, sometimes when you get into laundry and you have kids and they get grass stains or, you know, sweaty armpits or whatever it may be, you want good detergent, don't you? So when it goes through the wash machine and it comes out, you know, it's crisp, like, you know, Tide or whatever it may be, it's white and clean. When you take your sin, you take your shame, you take the vile person you are, and you put it in the wash machine of God, you're guaranteed that blood. Going to come out righteous only because Jesus and his blood was willing to shed it and to wash you, as it says in Revelation 1:5, with his own blood. Not only was it voluntary, not only was it permanent, but I want you to know thirdly about the sacrifice of Jesus. It's universal. It's universal. And Christian, we need to be reminded of that, but the whole world needs to be known about that.
Amen.
That it's universal. 1 John 2:2 says this, he is the propitiation, or he's our payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole wide world. Yeah. I added wide, but it's there. Whole world. It's there. See, my friend, the lamb that was provided, it was voluntarily given, it was permanent, and it's universal. So that the whole world can know that Jesus loves them. That the lamb that was provided is willing to put their sins, their shame, their vile life into God's washing machine. And through Jesus' own blood, and he'll never run out of detergent, the blood is always there. You can come out as white as snow. It's universal. You say, Pastor, it's literally everybody? Yes, everybody. I love that thought. And it should motivate us as Christians to want to go and tell people about that thought.
Amen.
To talk about Jesus Christ, the Christ in Christmas, the Jesus that loves you so much that in his own blood he washed away your sins. And let other people have that opportunity. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Whosoever will may come, the Bible says. Whosoever comes, he'll know why he's cast out, the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To be pulled from the muck and the mire and to be put upon the solid rock. To be righteous, to be living, to be able to have hope and to know that you have eternity in heaven. Oh, my friend, the Lamb was promised. The Lamb was prepared. The Lamb was provided. And I want you to note with me this morning in closing that the Lamb has all power. The Lamb has all power.
Amen.
Here we sit a week before Christmas. Here we sit in the greatest land in all the world. Here we sit with our families, our loved ones around us, or close by, or within the city maybe. And here's Christmas. Here's the celebration of Christ and the babe in a manger. And here it all is. And here it's understood that as John says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. As it's all laid before us and as it's all laid out about the preparation and the promise and what has been provided. Yes, my friend, as we think about this timeline again quickly, Jesus did go to the cross and he did go to the grave and up from the grave he arose. And he ascended back to heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father at this very moment.
Amen.
Waiting for the direction of the Father to come and to get his children.
Amen.
But until that moment, know this, that the Lamb of Christmas has all power.
Right.
And you can wake up this morning, you can wake up tomorrow, you can wake up next Sunday, and you can be happy, you can be excited.
Right.
You can be full of joy because guess what? Jesus has all power.
Right.
I want to explain that through just a few verses this morning and we'll be finished. Matthew 28, we're familiar with the Great Commission and the call to the disciples and to go ye into all the world and to create and to bring more disciples. Jesus came and spake unto them in verse 18, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus owns every ounce of power possible, my friend, and that is the Lamb of Christmas. Think about this. When it says that he has all power, if he has all, the whole, then who has any power? No one. If I said I'm going to eat the whole pie, guess what? You ain't getting any. So if God has all power, he has the whole amount of power, then nobody else has the power.
Right.
That's important to know because the Lamb of Christmas, Jesus then, as he's getting ready to send back to heaven, he says to his disciples, I have all power. It's been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and preach and teach and proclaim and make disciples. And note this, he said at the end of that passage, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I am with you always. Hallelujah. Guess what? As a believer, I have the one who has all power with me.
Amen.
God himself said, with all things, with God, things are possible. Without me, ye can do nothing. Of course, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. And Jesus himself said, lo, I am with you always. And all the things that you do in life, remember this, that I have all power. Because I'm the Lamb of Christmas. I'm the one that takes away the sins of the world, the one that covers you and makes you righteous and gives you a home in heaven. But not only that, know this, that I'm the one that you can trust because I have the whole power.
Amen.
Oh, my friend, this morning the Lamb has all power. Go, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12 this morning. Revelation chapter 12. I want you just to note a few verses with me in Revelation about this power of God. This Lamb that has all power, the Lamb that came and died for you and for me. In Revelation 12 and verse number 11, and they, speaking of those that were believers that withstood, overcame him, speaking of the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Just note this morning as we sit here. Our ability to be an overcomer comes from the blood of the Lamb who has all power.
Amen.
See, it's real. This is Christmas. And there's that joy and there's that. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? Hear that song on the radio and maybe you think, is it really? Because you know what? In your life, you might be going through a trial. In your life, you might be going through some temptation, a struggle. And just as Romans 12:11 proclaims for us, that they were able to overcome, they were able to withstand through the blood. You and I today, because He has all power, you and I can live victorious lives. We can live a life abundantly and full the way God intended, understanding the blood that has covered us, the blood that came for you and for me. And you can be an overcomer and know this, that you can live your life for Jesus and walk with Jesus, and that you would not love your own life, but you would really be willing to even be a sacrifice or be a faithful martyr, if I could say it that way, for Jesus as He so chooses. See, you can do all of those things. Those things can sound scary to you, but when you understand the blood, the Jesus, the Lamb that came to this earth to live and to die for you, the Lamb that has all power. And just as we read in Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. You and I this morning, I wanted to give you that thought. You can live and have a testimony that you also living a triumphant and victorious life because you understand the blood of the Lamb. There's an old hymn entitled The Power of the Blood, right?
Amen.
There's another old hymn entitled Nothing But the Blood. That blood is precious. That blood should excite you. That blood came from the Lamb of Christmas. In Revelation 15:3, the Bible says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Can I just ask you this Christmas to sing about the power of the blood? The power of the blood from only the sinless one. Would you be free from the burden? Because there's power in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. See, Christmas often turns us to a manger. To the little baby in the manger and the little scene and the nativity scene and all of that is so awesome. But remember this, even at Christmas, it was the blood from the Lamb of Christmas that washed away your sins.
Amen.
Nothing but the blood. Which is why you ought to, even this time of year, loudly sing and declare, power of the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 5, and we wrap up this morning. The Lamb has all power. Gives us the ability to be an overcomer. Gives us the ability and want to sing about the power of the blood that is in the only sinless one. I want you to draw your eyes to Revelation 5 this morning. I want you to see verse 12 and 13. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Who was slain? Jesus. Foretold in Isaiah 53, John 1, behold the Lamb of God who hath come to take away the sins of the world. And then we read that the Lamb goes to the cross and dies for all the sins of the world and now is back in heaven. And here's recorded in the last days in verse 12 of Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And may I say this, John didn't need to stop there. But what a list that is, huh? Let me reread that. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. Well, my friend, that's the Lamb of Christmas. And every creature which is in heaven and earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard a saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him. Amen. Oh, church, who's the Him? The Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. There's the list. And then it says all these locations in heaven and of earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that are in them heard a saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. It's Christmas. Christmas is so exciting because of the Lamb that was slain.
Amen.
Oh, my friend, this morning, can I ask you not to miss Christmas? Because the Lamb was promised. The Lamb was prepared. The Lamb was provided. And the Lamb has all power. Would you bow your head this morning and close your eyes?